from your home for Fire in the Boss. Maybe a year too late. But hey, man, it's something. Semi-live from a studio. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hi, guy.
Hey, Aaron.
Man.
We just talked a half hour before we hit record about food, so.
Yeah, no, that
we're all jazzed about opening our own restaurant.
Are we going to sell cereal and barbecue?
Yeah. I mean, that's not the worst idea.
I don't want to give away all of our best stuff, but yeah, man, that was the really good conversation that we should keep going on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Maybe next week. We'll just change to...
We'll have pro wrestling on in the corner. We'll have one of those old jukeboxes.
View from the cafeteria. We can franchise this stuff,
man. This is quality, man. We do have our... We really do.
How
put
we started talking with... Or how we not started a show with food 4 years ago? Three.
Well, you know why it was. Because we worked in a restaurant together. Yeah. And I can't imagine at the end of our 60-hour work week that we really wanted to talk more about food on our free day. But now...
Here we are.
Yeah, we were...
Anyway.
Oh, man. No, we're just going to keep going with that. It is really, really nice to be here.
Yeah.
It's been a week. Been a full one.
Wisconsin sports.
We've had a lot of Wisconsin weather out there. Now let's talk about Wisconsin. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We know. We all live here. We see what's happening.
When are you going to hit first?
Let's talk about...
Well, you got Badgers. You got the Bucks.
Well, actually, you know, no, 100%. We're going to start exactly with where I started in that lead. For those not in the know, two people that I have been grumbling about for about 2 years.
Go ahead.
Got fired. Well, I'm going to say they got fired. Whatever. They're not listening. They're not going to get too upset about it. Doc Rivers resigned.
He still had a year. He still has a year contract left.
And
too.
He's looking at taking an advisory role in the front office. Which, as long
Who would
as he's
do that,
as
Why?
Long as he's well, because he's owed money. So if you're the owner, you're going to pay him anyway, and you don't want to look bad by firing a coach who's won a championship, who went to Marquette. Doc Rivers' jersey is hanging up at the, I almost said the Bradley Center, at the Fiserv. So like he's a local to a Wisconsin to a Milwaukee. So maybe that's. He's got some goodwill there, but
maybe.
Or he's got some real good dirt on the owners. I don't know. But Doc Rivers isn't the coach next year.
Yeah,
which
whether
is,
he got whether he's retiring. I mean, I heard retiring. I heard he was getting fired.
I heard that he lost the locker room halfway through March.
This year or that?
This year. Yeah, right. I mean, that's exactly the problem. Is you could have told me he lost the locker room and got resigned last year, and I would have said, well, that's a year too late.
Yeah, right.
Because he took a team. He was, if nobody was paying attention, 2.5 years ago, about halfway, maybe a third of the way through the season.
Who'd they fire again?
They fired Adrian Griffin.
Who had taken them to,
they were at like, they had like a 30-19 record. Not overwhelming.
Who was the coach?
Mike Budenholzer was the coach before that won them a championship.
Right.
Whom was fired. And then replaced by Adrian Griffin, who was considered a young, inexperienced hire, but he seemed to have Giannis's support. Until he lost it, halfway through the season. Got replaced by Doc Rivers, who was let go by the Clippers years before, was on TV.
He's been fired by every job he's had, even the one that he won the one.
To be fair, that's every coach.
Well, I mean...
In most pro sports, you're either going to get fired... Or mostly get fired.
Yeah,
or
but he's resting on that one championship.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That's it. And he hasn't done anything since.
Championship that he had with the Celtics with a roster that was stacked.
Right.
Prime Hall of Fame players, and they won a championship. Yes, no, he's absolutely been coasting. He's got a below 500 record for his career and with the Bucks.
But yet somebody always hires him.
Not anymore. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, it did say like it sounded like he was retiring. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. Either rate, he's not going to be there next year to help.
He will
coach
not be
you.
To blame for the losses that the Bucks incur next year. I don't.
He'll be rebuilding anyway.
Truthfully, now that you're getting rid of Doc Rivers, this is the opportunity to completely turn the page as a franchise. This is your opportunity to trade Giannis.
Get some picks.
Get your picks. Get a player, something you can build around, because right now you're building around a guy who, whether he wants to be there or not, they're not winning. You're paying the most money you're going to pay any player in the league, and you're winning 30 games a year.
Right.
So, yep, complete reset by the Bucks. We will. The season has officially ended in the NBA. The playoffs are underway. We could probably talk about that a little bit later in the show. Some of the matchups, some of the intrigue. You know, depends on how fast we talk. Depends on how excited we get about other things.
I mean, we still have more Wisconsin sports to talk about.
And 100% we do.
You want go there?
The athletic director of Wisconsin Athletics, Chris McIntosh, resigned to take a job with the Big Ten. Deputy Commissioner of the Big Ten, which I guess is a promotion for a guy who, and he gets some credit for what he's done in some of the sports that maybe I don't follow as closely, maybe aren't as popular. He's gotten Wisconsin hockey. Their men's team was back this year. They were in the Final Four, hadn't been for a number of years. Women's volleyball has done really well. They were ranked number one in the country.
What about your football team?
And there you go. And therein lies the problem, because they've also done begrudgingly well with the basketball program. The basketball program hasn't lost a beat since Bo Ryan left, since Barry Alvarez left as the athletic director. But their football team, man, and it's frustrating because Chris McIntosh was a former first-team All-American offensive lineman for the Wisconsin Badgers back in the Ron Dayne era.
Sure.
He played in the NFL for a number of years. I want to say he was a pretty highly drafted tackle.
Sure.
Should have connections to the football world, should have a mind for expanding the football program.
Sure.
And in his tenure,
They wrecked it.
Yeah. I'm not going to say he did, but he did.
Made the wrong coaching hire.
Made the wrong coaching fire. Right. Yeah. Made the wrong coaching hire. Had Jim Leonard. Jim Leonard's a... Man, I will.
He's DC now, the Ravens.
He's the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. He's been really an assistant head coach for the Broncos last year. Yep. He's highly, highly respected, which either tells me that maybe he knew he was destined for bigger things and told Chris McIntosh, nah, man, I'm good here. I'm going to go. I've got other opportunities in the NFL. Maybe that's the way happened.
That's the way to go, you know.
Maybe that is what happened. Or... Because they were both, Jim Leonard stayed on the staff when Luke Fickell was hired.
Right.
That first year was terrible. They did not win a lot of games. They did not look real good. Nothing positive really came out of that.
Right.
And it's wrecked this program, man. The football program at the University of Wisconsin should generate money. They have for years and years and years. Wisconsin was the best team win-loss record that didn't make the college football playoffs. That is, in college football, that's something, right? Like, you're not Ohio State, you're not Penn State, but at the time, you weren't Indiana, you weren't Purdue, you weren't Northwestern, you weren't the bottom of the barrel. In those couple of years, Wisconsin has absolutely the bottom of the barrel. Their offense was one of the worst in the country over the last couple of years. Their quarterback play was absolutely the worst in all of college football. They lost so many games that they should not have lost based on coaching decisions, based on recruiting, based on play calling, based on they hired and fired offensive coordinators. Yeah, I'm kind of glad that they're turning the page on that one too. I'm hoping that it continues, the rest of the UW athletics continue to keep up with whoever is hired, but that their football team gets back to where it was again, because I want to be able to root for success. They're Wisconsin Badger football. I can't root for anybody else. I can't become a University of Indiana fan just like that. I'm from the state. So, So Chris McIntosh is out. I guess I'll have to come up with somebody else to blame for the issues of my two favorite teams, but that's a good start. So way to go with that.
The name that's been flown that I've been hearing?
Sure.
Mark Tauscher.
As the AD? I could roll with that. I listened to him on the radio.
That was a name that floated. A couple people floated that I saw.
Mark Tauscher was a former Packer, former Badger. He's been in the media now for a number of years. Okay. I can accept that. Troy Vincent was a name that I had heard.
Oh, sure.
He was a former head of the NFLPA.
Yep.
I'm not sure what else he's done since, but he would be well qualified to run an athletic department.
I don't think Tauscher maybe might be the most qualified for that job. But
You know, I guess we'll find out.
There's a lot of juggling to do, especially with the NIL, too. That,
sure.
Yep. You know, so.
Well, I don't know, I guess, necessarily what your qualifications are academically for athletic director. I'd assume public relations, a business degree could help, but mostly you got to be able to shake the right hands and look people in the eye and say, we're doing this.
You should throw your resume out there.
It's out there. Yeah, that's probably why they let him go. They might have saw my resume across the desk.
Anyway.
And, you know, that did not happen. No, I've got a good job and I like it. You want to talk about more sports?
Sure.
You want to talk about some disappointing Milwaukee Brewer action, or do you want to fit in getting excited about the Minnesota Twins?
Doesn't matter. I mean, your Brewers aren't doing so well.
They're doing average. They're at 8-8 on the year.
Yeah.
Which is exactly average. Yeah, yeah. You're 16 games in out of 162.
But you got the Reds, Pirates, and Cardinals ahead of you.
And none of them are too far ahead. You know, we're
2 games ahead.
16 games in out of 160. Yeah. We're essentially, call it, 1.5 NFL games into the season, right?
Yelich is out, isn't he?
There is a list on my board here of 5 really good Milwaukee Brewers who are sitting on the injured list right now.
Wow, really? At this point of the...
It's a little early to panic, but not too early.
It was the same last year, too, wasn't it?
100%.
Except there was pitchers last year.
And it was a lot of pitchers last year, but those pitching injuries resulted in really positive. You got to see some of these young players that you really sort of expected to maybe lay the foundation for the next era of Brewers. You got to see them early in the year.
Sure.
That is not so much happening this year. Christian Yelich is out till May.
Yep.
Christian Yelich is the captain of that team. He is the, you know, the emotional. You saw it in the playoffs. You see it in games where they're doing well. I watched it earlier in the year where he stole a run, essentially. He ignored the third base coach, made it home for the game-winning run just by a centimeter. Huge deal. He's that kind of player. He's often injured, and now he's often injured again. It's his back or something. He's got an old man back for being 35 years old. Jackson Churio, I want to say it was a hammy or was it a hand? They had a weird streak the Brewers did of having 4 different players with broken hands.
Ew.
You know, I don't know what they were doing. Fight club in the locker room or something. Not real sure. But Jackson Churio is going to be out another couple weeks. He is the energy guy. He is the young guy. He is a 20 stolen bases, 20 home runs. Plays a great center field. He's been out all year. He's going to be out for another couple weeks. Andrew Vaughn last year was the best home run hitter on their team.
Nice.
Led the team in home runs. Yeah, was nice. Is not nice this year because he's appeared in exactly 1 game. He'll be out another couple of weeks. Jared Koenig and Quinton Priest are 2 pitchers on the injured list. Jared Koenig was their best lefty reliever last year. He'd just come in, lock down a 7th inning, move on. Quinton Priester, he pitched last year. The Brewers won 18 games in a row. He hasn't played in a game. So as a result, you're having to see guys like Blake Perkins, David Hamilton, Luis Renfrio, as these are supposed to be depth guys. They're starting. They're seeing a ton of playing time, and they are hitting 138, 128, 188. Terrible. Joey Ortiz, once again, is hitting 200. And he is the everyday starter at shortstop for a team that's expected to make the playoffs. And again and again and again, I'll say it, you're not going to make the playoffs with a guy hitting 200 in your starting lineup. And the Brewers currently have about 5 guys hitting under 200 in their starting lineup. So the metrics are weird because they've scored a lot of runs, and they're plus 17 in run differential. They're winning games at home, you know, but they're just, yeah, at 8-8, like I said, it's early, but not too early. I'm looking at pitching performances from guys like Brandon Sprout, who was traded when they traded Peralta. He was the young pitcher that they got. He's been truly, truly awful.
How do you really feel about it?
The numbers, man. The numbers. Baseball is a fun sport like that because you can see in the numbers what is truly, truly horrible. Giving up, you know, 9 runs in 4 innings, sort of thing. A lot of walks, not a lot of strikeouts. That's not helpful. They're Trevor McGill, who last year was their all-star closer with 30 saves. Dude throws 100, and he looks the part. He's looking the part of a busted closer at this point. He's allowed 8 earned runs in 4 innings, which, if you're keeping track at home, is a 14.4 ERA. He has more walks at 8 than he does strikeouts at 7. Just not good. I guess that goes along with saying the Brewers have the best minor league system in baseball. Now would be a really, really good time to test that out. I don't need them to make a big trade. I really want to see some of these young players like I did 15 years ago. I watched guys like Ryan Braun and Ricky Weeks and Jonathan Lecroy and Prince Fielder come out of, you know, development and turn into something. The Brewers have the ability to do that in their minor league system, but I don't know if they will. They have one of the best prospects in baseball. They've got numerous top 100 guys in their infield. They've got young pitchers who last year had real success in the majors. So anytime that they want to start making that happen, Matt Arnold, GM, if you're listening, please make these call-ups. Mark Ananasio as the owner. Spend the money. Who cares about the rookie clock? Let's bring some talent. I want to get excited about the Brewers again. I don't want to have to spend another week on the radio talking about how they were 1-4 last week, and they're now 4 games back of the Pirates. That was a fun Brewers segment, eh?
But sure.
Man alive. We want to talk about something a little more exciting. I heard the Minnesota Twins have the best record in the American League. Is that true?
I'm looking at it right now, and they do.
They do. Okay, yeah. It's early, but not too early.
No, right?
Can you tell me something?
Oh God!
Interesting stat-wise. Can you tell me who looks like the part of taking the Minnesota Twins to the playoffs? Because this is our chance. We could go to a World Series again.
Josh Bell.
Okay.
Designated hitter. Maybe not so much. Victor Caratini. He's the catcher.
Caratini?
Yeah. Right. He's batting pretty good.
How is any Buxton's doing? Is there any Byron Buxton's?
Buxton's right there, too. I mean, he's at, what's his average batting? I mean, it's not the best.
Okay.
It's 235, 238, 259 for Victor.
Okay, so they're winning with pitching is what I'm guessing at this point.
Let's look at this. Taj Bradley?
Okay.
He's doing all right.
I mean, the Minnesota Twins are a team that doesn't typically spend a lot of money. So a lot of these names that you are saying...
Taj Bradley's ERA is 1.25.
So, hey, you need that.
He's right? 3 wins.
If you're gonna try to make the playoffs as a team that's not spending a bunch of money,
right?
Some random no-name better be your best pitcher.
That's all I got, too.
Okay, next. Nice work, man. They're
on a roll. I mean, they've won the last 8 of their last 10.
So. Oh, wow. So they've... That's a streak.
Considering where they were at the start of the season.
Sure, and the expectations that one would have for them.
Yeah, I expecting much of them, but...
Okay, so they're exceeding your expectations.
They weren't expected to do much this year, and the fact that they're actually, even right now, I mean, it's early, like you said. I mean, it's 19 games in.
Yeah, no, you're not, like I said, you're not very far into the season where this would be, if you were an NFL fan, this would be panicking because your team, not only did they start out 0-1, but they're down 17-0 at halftime in the first game. That would be, or it'd be the same as saying, well, we're going to win a Super Bowl because we're 1-0 and we're up 17-0 at halftime.
The surprise is Tampa Bay Rays.
Sure.
They're top of the East right now, which I don't know why, because they... always been horrible, haven't they?
No, they've taken the Brewers route over the last few years. Where they're
thinking about the Marlins.
You are thinking about the Marlins, who actually are decent, I think, again this year. But no, Tampa Bay is one of those teams that's done it on the cheap,
sure,
and done it with player development and taking risks and getting the manager right, things like that. They've done it.
The Athletics in the West, not that they're what I mean. Get the Rangers in there.
Yeah, I mean, anytime Astros, you could be in the
Mariners,
the A's might make the playoffs, and you were going to see Major League Baseball is going to be hosting playoff games
in a minor league
city of Sacramento, in the minor league stadium up in Sacramento. That is interesting to me.
Marlins are second in the East of National League.
Hmm.
They're 500 right now. So.
Okay.
Reds are there. Oh, that's we know the Central.
Yeah, like I said, the Central.
And then you have the Dodgers, which. They're 13-4 right now.
It almost feels like everybody else is playing for second. It does sometimes with that roster. Sure. And it's going to take, I mean, it's a 7-game series in these in the playoffs, right. You know? So you just, you're trying to win 4 games. You're trying to, you know, you against a team
ask
like
the
Dodgers.
That. Ask the Brewers that one.
Oof. Yeah, that was hard to, but got to get there first, right? Sure. If you're Milwaukee, you healthy. If you can keep me at 500 until some of these guys come back, what I'm looking at, Yelich, Churio, and Vaughn were the three, besides Bryce Turang,
yeah,
the best three hitters on, most valuable hitters on that roster last year. Willem Contreras is playing really well this year. Last year, he scuffled all over the place until about halfway through the year. He's healthy.
It's a long season.
It's super long. Yeah, dude, 162 games really does go almost 200 days.
Yeah.
It's incredibly long. It's
pace yourselves.
It's, you know, as a fan, you got to pace yourself. And as the athlete, I'm sure you got to, you know, it's not going to make or break every single game, every single at bat. But yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What else?
Well, we got the draft happening next Thursday.
Is it already? We're a week away.
Yeah.
From the draft. That's kind of exciting. Right? I wish I would have been paying attention. We maybe would have taken a little bit more time. I think next week, though, we will have to talk a little bit more in depth about what your Vikings are going to do and why, what my Packers, what's going to happen with this draft, who's at the top, who's going to be, what are the surprises, what are the cool things to look at for. I was interested in something that I keep running across.
Yeah.
I like the draft.
Yes.
I like the insiders.
Sure.
Right? I like when they start.
For now.
You know, it's a cool gig.
Until they go to ESPN.
And then they do this thing that bugs me, and it's been bugging me for a while. The player comp.
Oh, sure.
Because they never, ever, ever compare these players to a bad player.
Well, no.
Every time they make a comparison, all they can see are the pot. Like, they will literally say that the quarterback from Alabama is like a more athletic Mac Jones. Like, that's not a glowing review. You will hear guys, Arvel Reese, he'll be the number one defender probably taken,
sure,
in the draft this year, somewhere between, yeah, the Titans, somewhere. His comparison was Micah Parsons. Like, you're only... The ability for a player to be a Hall of Famer, but they never compare, even when you run through, yeah, third round and fifth round comps.
I was listening to Mel Kiper.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, I mean, draft wise, he's
the one for me.
He's the, yep, top, you know. He was comparing Fernando Mendoza,
yes,
as either kind of like a Matt Ryan to Peyton Manning. And
right.
I'm like, that's a real stretch. But and then somebody asked him, go closer to Matt Ryan or Clay.
Right.
He's like, well, more, if he has anything like a career Matt Ryan, great. It's a success.
That's
right?
A Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame, yeah, career.
But that irritated me.
Right.
You can't get.
Peyton Manning was arguably the best quarterback specimen of a generation. Like, if you could put
smart
one together.
He was so smart and did his homework.
Real arm, real durable.
Mostly.
You know, until the end of his career. But, no, you could... So yes, that for me, to compare a guy like, yeah, that and say... Like, I want to hear one of these guys compared to Johnny Manziel. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see some of these player comparisons.
That's probably like third, fourth, fifth round kind of guys.
But even when you look at some of these comparisons, you will still be... They will compare a third round pick to a starter in the NFL.
Sure.
Consistently. But they don't have player comps that say... The guy you forgot that didn't get drafted, the seventh rounder, is a seventh rounder. You know, like,
right,
these guys, the player comps are interesting to me when they compare some wide receiver to.
I think they're putting more stock in what they think they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I saw someone in they were called a smaller, less athletic Deebo Samuel, which is a really complex.
So is that wide receiver three then?
That's exactly it. Deebo Samuel is a guy who came into the league as a running back, wide receiver, sort of combination of a guy who dropped off real, real fast. So to be compared to a smaller, less athletic version of a guy who...
So Jordan Addison.
Yeah. I don't know what those comps mean, but it's interesting to me as I watch...
They're comparing him to, you know, all the stats, height, weight, you know, speed.
Sure.
And honestly, I don't, when I watch the combine, I skip over that 40. I mean, sure. Except for the, like, when the D-line or O-line guys are on them. Mm-hmm. That is fun to watch. But and always, when they have their own pro day at their own facilities,
yes.
They always do better.
Yeah.
Because they're more comfortable. But whatever.
No, player.
I want to see the Cinderella kid. You know, somebody goes picks him up in the second.
Oh, yeah.
And goes, hey, he's a starter. Who?
Those guys like a Terrell Davis from 35 years ago, yeah. Or a Tom Brady, or a, you know, a guy who develops from a sixth round pick. Packers, any Packers running back, basically,
or even an undrafted. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Ivan Pace Jr. from Minnesota is still there.
Okay,
he had a little bit of a bump last year.
Sure.
But I think he's going to be back. But yeah.
Yeah.
Next, the draft next Thursday, Friday is the one to watch.
So next week we will definitely get more into because
there's a lot of teams that have multiple picks in that first round too.
Yes. Yep.
And that's where it kind of gets interesting in what they pick.
Where they can also, those are the teams that really decide a draft because they can trade up. When you have two first round picks, you can get all the way to the first round or all the way to the number one pick if you really wanted it. If you have two first round picks of this year.
Not the Jets, they're number two, so they don't have to.
But if you were the Jets and you badly enough wanted that quarterback, if you saw Mendoza and said, we're trading up, we're gonna give you our number two and our number 22 and next year's first, you can do it. If you see a guy,
they got three next year.
Yeah, oh that's right, they do. If you're a team like Dallas, who has two picks in the second round, you could trade up and get that guy. You can identify
or
a guy.
Be like Minnesota. They've taken the approach, maybe not now with their general manager being fired and interim one, but they've done the approach of, let's get out of the first round because we have more success in the second and third.
Sure.
Which is valid.
There are ways. I mean, that's the thing, is you got to know who you are.
Yeah.
As a franchise, if you're good at picking, if you're a good team like Baltimore, that is good at picking in the first round. Mm. You will want those first round. You will want to get back into the first round so you can draft your next Lamar Jackson. You will do that. But if you're a team like the Raiders, you would be pretty smart to realize our history tells us we're going to bomb on one of these picks and trade out of the second round. Get some multiple picks for somebody.
See, I think for like my Vikings, that's the thing that's been kind of lacking the last several years is that, you know, drafting. They haven't done a really good draft. They haven't done.
No, they had an opportunity a couple of years ago where they had two first-round picks, both of them in the top 15.
1 minute, by the way.
And they failed to produce a starter out of either one of those guys.
I think they have one guy from any of those drafts, or two, Jordan Addison, too.
I mean, that's how you get your GM fired. We've talked about that. But this draft really is how you get your GM fired. I can honestly tell you.
We can talk about this next Wednesday because the draft will be that day before.
Oh, we totally will. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs.
Just a reminder, too, before you wrap it up, is that the Vinylthon is this Saturday going for 24 hours where all the DJs are playing vinyl.
Dude, that is such a good time. Come on, look in the windows, have a good time with that.
Go to Bad Axe Music, buy some vinyl.
Oh, man, that's a good weekend to come down here. It's also, I'm pretty sure we won't run into you until Earth Day is coming.
Oh yeah,
it's spring is on its way, man. Get out and enjoy the fact that this is the sport. Like, if you are, nature is really a year-round sport. It's got everything, man. It's got fresh air and exercise and fun and community. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.